Good morning, church. It's good to have you all with us today. We are continuing our series of preaching through the Bible, and we are in the Minor Prophets again today. We're going to be looking at the book of Zechariah, 14 chapters in this book, and yet we're going to just look at one chapter alone today, chapter 3. The entire chapter is just 10 verses long. But we hope to learn much from it today. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?' And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. And he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, 'Remove the filthy garments from him.' And again he said to him, 'See, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and you will clothe you with festal robes.' Then I said, 'Let them put a clean turban on his head.' So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua, saying, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you indeed are men who are a symbol, for behold, I'm going to bring in my servant the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are seven eyes. Behold, engrave an inscription on it. I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. And in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and under his fig tree." There's some things that jumped out at me at first when reading through Zechariah chapter 3. We see Joshua the high priest there. If you know anything about the Old Testament, we know that that would actually be Yeshua, what we would know as even Jesus today. As we might try to look through this text and find a similarity between Jesus Christ and Joshua the high priest, their name is where it ends. Joshua has some problems, and this is where I am reminded by a passage of Scripture that Burton just mentioned during the communion meditation out of 1 Peter, when Peter refers to us as a royal priesthood, that we are priests today. Joshua was a priest and even the high priest of that day. And yet we see as he came before the Lord and before Satan, that he was deep in sin. He was a representation of the people that were deep in sin. And they lived a messed up life. And the Lord wants and desires to cleanse them from that. That's what this whole chapter is about. This chapter is about the cleansing of his people, of Israel. But if we apply it to our lives today, it's about the cleansing of our souls, becoming the church today. One morning during Sunday announcements, the preacher at a certain congregation says, "I need to make a correction to announcement from last week's bulletin." It read this: "The church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hostility." It should have read that the church will host an evening of fine dining, super entertainment, and gracious hospitality. And so the preacher goes on to talk, and he says, "Sorry, folks." He goes, "Here at this church, we are a loving church, not a hostile one. We love hurting people." He then went on to say, "I just have one other announcement for this morning. that the peacemaker or the peacekeepers meeting scheduled for this afternoon has been canceled due to a conflict. Have you ever been in that situation where you just continue on saying things and it gets you deeper and deeper in a hole? That's exactly what this preacher had gotten himself into. Yes, they may love hurting people, but they don't love hurting people. We got to be careful on the emphasis in which we say things. Peacekeepers with conflict, he just kept getting himself into trouble. Sometimes in our attempts to make amends and correct a wrong, we just make the situation worse. In this example, the correction were attempts to make right something that had been done wrong. And though the results were not as this preacher desired, his idea and his thoughts were right. He just couldn't get it that way. And so I kind of want for us to think about that as we look at this text this morning. The first thing we see from this text is as the angel of the Lord is there, as Satan is there, and Joshua comes before them, Satan is going to do what Satan always does. And Satan is going to be the accuser. Satan will always try to make us feel unworthy. He's always going to try to make us feel guilty. He's always going to try to bring up the past. He's always going to let us know where we have failed, where we have fallen short. You know, and since we became a Christian, Satan has been working to make us live in our guilt of sin. Even though Jesus has washed that all away, he is there to remind us, and he does a very good job of it. From Adam to Job to mankind today, Satan is trying his best to make us all feel unworthy. The thing that actually goes out against us is that we are unworthy of the great God of heaven. However, there is something that we have in our life as Christians today that changes all that. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The Almighty Father of heaven sees us not in our sin, but he sees us in his grace, and how blessed we are for that. Satan will definitely try to make us feel unworthy. But you know, the fact of the matter is, as Joshua stood there before the angel of the Lord and stood there before Satan, he may have felt unworthy, and that's because he was, as we had already shared. And the people of that day, and Joshua represented them, they were filthy and they were stained with sin. They were covered in sin. Their garments were dirty. Their garments were messed up, and they were stained. They were filthy. They were stained with sin, and nothing has changed in the world since the fall in the garden. Our sin causes us to be unholy in the sight of God. And too many times sin causes side effects that relates to our effectiveness with reality. And the reality of the matter and the reality of the situation is that sin messes us up. It messes us up physically. It messes us up emotionally. It messes us up mentally. And we're going to take a look at some of the sins that these people were involved in here, as we see that because of the stain of sin that they had in their life, they were also blinded by sin. We see that the people of their day were blinded by sin, and we see that we are blinded by sin as well. And we need to be reminded of that. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12 says this: "There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness." I think we all think of ourselves as that as one time or another, that maybe we're not as bad as we think we are. That we're pretty good people. But Scripture reminds us something different. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says this: For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are as like a filthy garment. We are no good, we are dirty, we are filthy, and we need to be cleaned. Ezra chapter 9 and verse 15 says, O Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, for you have been left and escaped, for we have been left as an escaped remnant. As it is this day, behold, we are before you in our guilt, for no one can stand before you because of this. We know that we are guilty. We've got a memory that reminds us of the bad things that we've done in our life. We've got a mind that can serve to do great things for the Lord, but it can also be our own worst enemy. It can make us so that we remember things that the Lord no longer remembers. And in that, we feel guilty, and we feel no good, and we feel unworthy. And that's where Satan, the accuser, stands before us, and he continues to place these things in our mind, reminding us that we are no good. But we dare not forget the blood of Jesus Christ, as it has washed away our sins and has taken away our guilt. Not only were these people blinded by sin, they were also engaged in mixed marriages. We see this was a big problem in the day. And matter of fact, we see this was a big problem even among the high priest who is standing before Satan and the angel of the Lord today in our text. Ezra chapter 10 and verse 18, he is called out. And it says, among the sons of the priest who had been married to or married foreign wives were found of the sons of Yeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers. I'll just let you know this right now. If the leadership is tainted, the followers will be tainted. And the Lord knew this, and that's why he said that Joshua is standing here today with a dirty turban on and dirty garments and filthy rags. And he needed to be cleansed. They were living just like the world. And too many times, I believe that the church today looks just like the world, and we need to be something different, as was pointed out earlier. Not only were they engaged in mixed marriages and they were blinded to their sin, but they were participating in the murder of children. These are things, again, that years and years before Christ, the nation of Israel is doing these things. And I can't help but think of our nation today, the United States of America, as there are innocent children, unborn children, put to death on a daily basis, that we are participating in the murder of children. Psalms 106, verses 37 and 38 says this, they even sacrifice their sons and their daughters to the demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they have sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. The murder of innocent today, whether that of the unborn, the newly born, or even of the aged. A land, a country, a nation cannot get away with that on a continual basis. The Lord will come for a reckoning. Church, we need not to be involved in these things. We need not to be blinded by sin as Israel was. We need not to be involved in mixed marriages of marrying those outside of the faith of Jesus Christ. We need not to participate in the murder of children. When innocent blood is shed, blood will be required. Guilty blood. They were in need of a cleansing, we see in our text. They were in need of a cleansing. Now I'm going to use a few phrases here, metaphors as such, of illustrations of things that I think that our denominational friends sometimes forget or they overlook today. I'm going to use three phrases here, and I want for you to pay attention to them. They're just relatively short. One is, get cleaned up for dinner. Get cleaned up for dinner. Number two, would you please do the dishes? Will you please do the dishes? And number three, don't forget to use soap. Don't forget to use soap. Now, what one thing do all three of these things have in common that are not mentioned in this cleansing process? They are all understood to use something that is not mentioned in any one of the phrases that we used. And that word is water. The water was never mentioned there. I bring that up because I listen to religious radio quite often, and there's a brilliant communicator on the radio that I vehemently disagree with in the statement that he says as he reads and preaches Romans chapter 6, he never sees the word water in there ever. And when we talk about baptism as the church, we understand that is a water baptism. Is there anything special in the water? No, but there's something special that takes place in the water. And we need to understand that. He says that there's never the word water mentioned in Romans 6. So clearly he says baptism has nothing to do with water or our salvation. All I can think of is every time I hear that are the words of Dickie Chambers when he says, you must have been taking striped dumb pills if you think that what that gentleman said is true. It's an absolute heresy. It's a lie. We don't have to have water mentioned to know that we are buried with him in baptism. We know what that is. We understand that. When they intentionally overlook that, we need to be careful. We see that in the book of Zechariah, that it not only Joshua the high priest, but the people, they needed to be washed. We're reminded of that by the prophet Jeremiah, where he says in Jeremiah 4:14, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? We understand what it takes to wash. Water is not mentioned there, but it says to wash. Isaiah 1:16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from my sight, cease to do evil. In Isaiah 1:16. And I sum that all up by saying, how about Acts 22:16, where it says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. We also then read in Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, then one of the elders answered and said to me, those who are clothed in white robes, who are they? And where have they come from? And I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who have come out of the great tribulation. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Where do we go to contact the blood of Jesus? Baptism. Where do we go to have our sins washed away? Baptism. When we overlook that simple reality, we overlook a very important thing. But we also know that when we are washed, as they put on the new turban and they put on the new robes on Joshua, that this salvation was conditional. They could get their turban dirty again. They could get their clothes dirty again. They could mess up their life. Their salvation was conditional. Our salvation is conditional. And I believe in the assurance of salvation, but not to the point of eternal security. There's a big difference. If I want to go astray, I can. I can choose to do that. I can dirty my garments back up. I can mess my life back up. You've done that, and I've done that. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, it says, now then, if you will indeed obey my voice, this is talking about that it's conditional, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples of the earth, or all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. If you will do this, if you will obey my voice, if you will keep my commandments. Boy, how big of a word is the word if? Yeah, we say it's only two letters long, but it is a big, big word. But I also like to be reminded of John 14:15, where it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We'll just simply do what the Lord says. As we continue on through our text here this morning, we see as they get to the end of the third chapter in Zechariah, that they're given a stone. They're given a stone. As we see in our text, the stone was given and an inscription placed on it. Well, that reminds me of a passage that the Apostle John shares with us in Revelation 2:17. When he's talking to the seven churches of Asia there, as he's talking to one of them, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some hidden of the hidden manna. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on that stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. From my understanding and from my past studies on this white stone, this would be given out to those that were maybe in the Olympics or had done great things in the nation or in the country or in the city at this time. And they would be given this white stone, and it would almost be like a credit card that would have the payment go to somebody else. The white stone represented a free meal ticket. And all they'd have to do as they would walk around would is to present this white stone, and gifts would be given to them. Blessings would come. And then it says on there, a new name was written on the stone which no one but he who receives it knows. They don't know what was written on there. Maybe it was written paid in full. Debt canceled. I don't know. They don't tell us. But we get excited, though, when we see our name written on things, don't we? We see our name written down somewhere on a list. Maybe you made a certain team and your name is there. You see your name printed in the paper or online. You see your name. Or to get an award or a plaque and have your name engraved on it. We love to see our name written down. And so I asked this morning, how about having our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 27 says, and nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When do we have it written in the Lamb's Book of Life? When we have our robes washed white with the blood of the Lamb. They were given a stone. The stone is a reminder of that precious gift that we've been given. And we pray that our name has been written down in glory because of what the Lord has done and our response to it. And then we get down to the final verse or so in our text. And this is where it goes along with Gary's class lesson excellent this morning. As we see that there is an invitation that should be extended to all. Extend an invitation to all. Everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome. For this passage of Scripture there says, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and under his fig tree. All are welcome to come. All are invited. But I think we need to do some adjusting, and maybe having had to stay home for several weeks now, as we do get together here via Facebook, that we collectively are not together as we would like to be. And this is where maybe we need to readjust our language a little bit. So many times we say, you know, why don't you invite someone to church? Well, we say we know that the church are the people and not the building. But then we say, let's invite them to church. And what are we talking about? Inviting them to the building. So maybe we need to change our wordage just a little bit and stop inviting people to church. And maybe we need to invite them to Jesus. Invite them to come to Jesus. Why is that? Because as we learned in our Sunday school lesson, as we see at the end of this text, that Jesus is the vine. And if we want to be productive and we want to grow, then we want to be in that true vine of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 3 is a prime example of a nation, of a group of people that could let sin and wickedness and evil define them. But if they decide to be obedient, to wash themselves, to no longer be blinded to sin, to not get caught up in the evils and the wickedness that goes on in the world around us, but to be a separate people. That's what the Lord wanted from Israel. And I guarantee that is what the Lord desires for us today. If you are with us this morning and you are outside of Jesus Christ and you want to know what it takes to be a part of Jesus Christ, there's a plan of salvation that needs to be followed, that needs to be obeyed. In John chapter 8 and verse 24, it says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." It starts with a belief in Jesus Christ as Lord and as the Son of God, that He is the vine. And we need to understand that there is a time then that when we understand who Jesus is and what He's done for us, that we repent of our sin, that we acknowledge our errors. And as was shared in the communion time this morning, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we all need to repent. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven." That confession is not something that only takes place as we are lowered down into the watery grave, but it is something that we continue to do on a daily basis in our life. We let the world know who Jesus is to and for us. Then we are immersed into Jesus Christ. We are baptized into Him. Jesus says in Mark 16:16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Baptism leads to salvation. Unbelief leads to condemnation. Choose Jesus and then be faithful until death. Be faithful even if it means your death. As it says in Revelation 2:10, "Be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life." He will just not put a new turban and a new robe on us. They put a crown of life on us because our robes have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, as we learn from our text today in Zechariah chapter 3. We appreciate you being with us today. We thank you for the time that we had to be together, even though we're apart, with the Sunday school class, the song service, the communion meditation, and the message from God's Word. May it be a reminder to us to be separate, but to clean and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you would like to support the ministry here at the Church of Christ at Harlan, we would greatly appreciate that, especially from our members, that you can mail your tithes and offerings to the Church of Christ at Harlan at 17108 State Road 37 in Harlan, Indiana, 46743, where we make it our goal for His glory, to seek the lost, to send the light, and to serve the Lord. Will you close out in a word of prayer with me this morning? Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much for Jesus. As we learned in Sunday school, that He is the vine, that the Father is the vine dresser, and we want to be a part of that. As we learn from our communion meditation that we are unique, we serve a unique God, one that sent a unique Savior to us. For that, we're eternally grateful. And as we look to the book of Zechariah from the Old Testament, may it be an ever reminder of us that Satan wants to get us down, that Satan wants to make us feel guilty and consider ourselves unworthy. But yet, the power and the blood of Jesus Christ comes to us in a saving way where our sins are washed away. We arise to walk in a new life, and we have put the old one behind us. We thank you so much for your love and your patience with us. Continue to be with the church around the world this time. Continue to just to be with the health concerns of our own country and around the world as well. We just pray, Lord, that you would reign supreme, that you would show your power to us in a way that would cause the lost to come home and the faithful to stand strong. We thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.